right, guys, let's get some lights. Here we go. Man, I haven't done this old school since I was in Africa at Pastor's. I don't do the mic a lot. So when I hold the mic, I think back to 90s rap. So I'm sorry what comes out. Just know that I want to rock right now. I'm on the mic. It's time to get down. Y'all, I'm going to ask you for a favor. We've been doing this series, it's the why behind what we do in church. And this is week 7, so we're actually ending it next week, so we're wrapping things up this morning. This morning, we're going to talk about this thing called Christian fellowship. Why do we gather? What is that about? What is the purpose of it? Why is it important? And so, man, if you have your Bibles, just know I'm going to be in about, like, we're going to be all over the place. So, keep up if you want to, but we are going to ask you to make sure you have a bulletin. So if you didn't grab one of these, we're going to ask that you use one of those. You can scan it, super helpful on mornings like this when we're all over the Bible and a bunch of different scriptures. It's got hyperlinks so you can click where you're going to go. So if you'll scan that, get that ready. We do ask that you take notes. That's part of participating in worship. So we're here to learn. So we want to hear what God's word says. We want to take notes. We want to go home, think about it. We give you questions for reflection. You can talk about with whoever you came with. Be like, oh man, I wasn't even thinking about that. And that's all meant to help you be able to take that word in and to be transformed by the power of God's word. And so I'm going to pray for our time in God's word, and then we're going to jump in together. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be in this place. Holy Spirit, man, we just need you. God, I need you. It has been a nutty morning. And so just ask that you come and take your place. Fill our pulpit this morning and teach us about your church. Teach us about who Jesus is and what he promises when we gather. And just teach us from the inside out. We ask that in Jesus' holy, powerful, and precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, listen, if we are going to talk about why we gather for Christian fellowship, I think it's really important we just have kind of a working definition. So I'm giving this to you for free in your notes. You don't have to write a thing down. It's all in there. But here it is. What is Christian fellowship? Christian fellowship is the unique community. It's the unique community and bond that Christians have with one another because of their relationship with Jesus. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. It is the unique community and bond that Christians have with one another because of their relationship with Jesus. And it's unique because only people that have accepted the grace of God by putting their faith in Jesus Christ have this bond. Because when that happens, the Bible says that we become children of God and that we all become members of God's household, meaning that we become spiritual brothers and sisters. And this cannot be replicated anywhere else outside of the Christian faith. Okay, so it's extremely unique in that sense. John talks about it like this in 1 John 1:7. He says, if we walk in the light as he himself, talking about Jesus is in the light, then we're going to have fellowship with one another, right? So if we're following Christ, if we put our faith and trust in Christ, if that's who we are, then we're going to have this bond together. And it's that bond that I want to talk about this morning. But specifically, our question isn't what it is. Our question is, why do we practice it? Why do we practice it? And there's three primary reasons I think the Bible gives us on why we should make this part of our life, okay? Here's the first, guys. We fellowship with one another because God manifests his presence in a supernatural way when we gather together, okay? Some big words in there. I'm going to say it again. Listen, we fellowship with one another because God manifests himself, his presence, in a supernatural way when we gather together. When we gather together. Y'all, I hear this all the time. Pastor, I don't need to go to church to worship God. I hear it. Like, you'd be shocked how often. That's my country accent. Y'all are welcome. And I'm not saying just because we live in the country. I've heard it like the whole time I've been in ministry. So it goes something like, Pastor, I don't need to go to church in order to worship God. And you know what? You're right. You can worship God. Like, God is not contained by these four walls. Okay, so you can worship God anywhere. You can worship God at home. You can worship God at work. You guys can worship God in school. You can worship God in your car as you drive from point A to point B. You can worship God anywhere. Not only that, you can worship God on your own. That's 100% true. In fact, guess what? The church encourages it. We actually encourage you to daily worship God on your own by studying his word, by praying to him, by worshiping through song. Yes, like all those things. We want that to be part of your daily habit. Absolutely. So you can worship God. You don't have to be in church to do it. You don't have to be with others. But I'm here to tell you that if you're not with others and that is your habit, There's two things that are going to happen, okay? One, you're going to actively been walking in disobedience to the word of God, okay? So you're like, no, I'm good. I'm so close with the Lord. We're great. Well, if you don't go to church, you're not great because he actually tells you to, okay? So you're actively walking in disobedience to his word. That's number one. That's going to create a little distance, okay? And two, it's just going to be harder to maintain that vitality, that life, that fire, our love and passion for Christ on your own, okay? So I'll tell you a little story. There was a pastor that was doing visitation. He had a man on his roll that was a member and had been a member of the church forever, and the guy just never, ever showed up. And so he called on him, and I don't need church, pastor. So one day the pastor says, well, I'm going to go talk to him. So he goes and knocks on his door. We're going to call this guy Jim, and says, hey, Jim, just here, wanted to kind of talk to you about, see what's going on and why, you know, you don't want to come to church and those kind of things. And so the guy lets him in, and it's a cold day. There's a big fire roaring in the fireplace. So the pastor sits down on one side, Jim on the other, and Jim just says, I don't have anything to say to you, pastor. I don't need to go to church to worship God. So the pastor realizes it's going to be a pretty difficult conversation, so he gets up from his chair and he walks over to that roaring fire, and he grabs the tongs next to the fireplace, and he grabs one of the logs, and he takes it out, and he sets it on the stone surround of the fireplace outside of the roaring fire, just on the stone surround by itself, and he sits back down without saying a word. And together, he and Jim watch as the flames that were once there are suddenly no longer there. But the log is still red, and it's still heated, and you can still see those embers glowing. But after time, guess what? That red and those pink and orange colors, they turn to gray. And then after a bit more time, finally, the log just gave up. You know what I mean? When it turns completely gray, it's like this last puff of smoke, like, whoo, it was done. And without saying anything else, the pastor got up, he went over, he shook Jim's hand. He said, hey, Jim, thanks for letting me come over and talk to you about why you need to be in church. And he left. Guys, you know what? Jim showed up the next Sunday because he got it. Because he understood exactly what the pastor was saying. The together nature of the Christian faith matters. All right? It matters. Jesus was talking about what he promises when we gather in Matthew chapter 18. He says this in verse 19 and 20. He says, again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And get this, he says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. When two or three intentionally show up to do something for my sake, in my name, here's my promise, I'll be there. I'll be there. That's a promise of God. Jesus promises his presence whenever we show up on purpose. He promises a special manifestation, a special display, a special demonstration of his presence when his people come together in his name, aka when we fellowship with one another. He says, I'll be there. Y'all, that's why we often leave this place and we feel different than when we came in. Amen? You've struggled like me. Like sometimes I struggle to try to describe that to others. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. I go and the world and its weight is like all over me, and I go and I had a fight before I came. I go and I'm in a place that I don't want to be. I go and I'm far away. I go and I'm depressed, and then something happens when I'm there, and then I leave and I feel better than when I came in. And what makes us feel better is the presence of God himself ministering to our spirits, right? Changing us from the inside out. It's a spiritual, supernatural change. And it happens because Jesus promised it would. That's the first reason we fellowship, y'all. It's the first reason. Because Jesus promises that when we do, he'll show up. All right? Anybody want a little more Jesus in your life? All right, here we go. We'll talk about it when we get to application, y'all. But I'm just saying it's important. So that's the first reason. Second reason we fellowship, guys. So we fellowship with one another in order to push each other to strive to be better followers of Jesus. Okay? We fellowship with one another in order to push each other to strive to be better followers of Jesus. I see some of your faces when I use that word push. You're like, ooh. Did you just say that? That's part. I'm supposed to push somebody? Really? Like that? That's a little offensive, Pastor. Can we use something a little lighter? Like, you know? No, I mean it. That we've got to push one another to do the things that we know that we're supposed to do, right? And for some of you that struggle with that, think of it like this. Here's the imagery. It's like a coach and an athlete, right? So I played sports my whole life. I've had the opportunity to coach all my kids. I now get to coach my daughter primarily. Like I didn't do basketball this year, though. I certainly 2 weeks ago coached from the sidelines. It was my bad, Jens. I apologize afterwards. I was like, my bad, coach. But we won both those games. I just want to say it's fine. I didn't coach this week from the sideline. We lost them both. It's fine. But tell me. But I typically coach my daughter, and so when it came to basketball, I said, babe, I've been swamped, but I coach her volleyball team, something she asked for. But when I coach girls, and men, these girls that I coach, like, I have a great relationship with them, but I'm one of the only coaches, like, we're out at 10, we're running laps, like, before practice, after practice, and it's because here's my belief, because this is my athletic story, right? You're not always going to have the athletic prowess to out-athlete the other team, but by golly, you can want it more, right? And so when it comes to those tight games, even with 10-year-old girls, you're going to hear me on the sidelines going, come on, girls, dig deep. Come on, you got to dig deep. You got to want it. You got to want it right now. You got to lay it on the... And man, it's like, somebody's like, dude, that guy's intense. That's a little much. They're 10, right? What am I doing? I'm just trying to push them because that's a life lesson, not a volleyball lesson. Because life is hard, and sometimes you just got to want it more. Sometimes you got to get up and go, I'm pushing through, and I don't even care, right? And so it's that push. Now listen, sometimes my daughter is irritated at that. Can y'all imagine? Can you imagine? What? And here's what I want to say. I think that's biblical, right? Don't believe me. Let's look at this passage together. Author of Hebrews puts it this way, Hebrews 10:24-25. Says, let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That word consider just means to fix our eyes or fix our minds. It means to be thinking of one another, right? So be thinking of one another. And why are we thinking? Why are we fixing our eyes on our brothers and sisters in Christ? Why are we doing this? It says to provoke love and good works. To provoke love and good works, and to keep them from neglecting that gathering of together. So let's look at that word provoke in the Greek. Ready? It means to incite or to irritate. And here's what I'm telling you. You better have somebody in your life that will irritate you for Jesus' sake. You better. Because you and I are prone to wander. You and I are prone to settle. You and I are prone to look at the scoreboard and say, well, I guess spiritually it's just not my day. You and I are prone to giving up. That's who we are. In our flesh, you and I are prone to quitting and to giving in. And we've got to have somebody in our life that is screaming and in love at us, dig deep, push through, right? You can do it. God's got something better for you on the other side. We've got to have somebody in our life that is willing to push us on to love and good deeds, because I want to tell you right now, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, which is the command, and loving your neighbor as yourself, you cannot do that on your own and by yourself. It is not a natural thing. It is a supernatural thing. It's not something that we can do emotionally. It's not something that we can do mentally. We can't just will our way into it. We can't just say, I'm going to do it. We have to be walking in the Spirit of God in order to do it. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit of God, you have to abide in the Spirit of God. If that's going to happen, you got to have somebody that's constantly going, hey, dude, come on. Come on. Is that what the Bible says about loving people? Are you really living that out? Brandon's got to look at me every once in a while and go, dude. That wasn't the most loving way you treated your wife. You know, like, he's got to be able to say that. I get to say that back, which is awesome. Like, hey, man, we've got to have somebody that's willing to do that. We need somebody that is annoyingly going to remind us how patient God has been with us, what God has done for us. We need somebody that is going to call us to love others the way that God has loved us. We need somebody that's going to help us understand that loving God and loving sinful people like us is hard. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's not physical or emotional or mental. It is a spiritual practice, and it demands that we walk in the Spirit. So we need help. Need somebody to force us to walk in love. We also need somebody to force us to do what the Bible tells us to do. Right? It says to provoke good deeds. To provoke good works. Hey, maybe stuff with you and the Lord are great right now, but I want you to write this down. There will come a time soon that you will not want to do what God tells you to do. Write it down. It's 100% true. Like, it's happening. Like, at some point, God is going, like, he's going to say, here's how I want you to live. And you're going to go, don't feel like that one. You're going to want to pick through the commands of Scripture, be like, oh, that one's great. I'm all about that one. But this one over here, I'm not so, and you're going to need somebody in your life that is a little irritating that goes, no, bro, that's not how it works. We don't get to pick and choose which of Jesus' commands we follow. Man, we've got to do what it says. Like, brother, listen, I know you heard the same message that I heard. You sat under the same teaching that I said. We're reading the same Scripture together, but the Bible is clear here. It says, don't just be hearers of the word, but you got to do what it says. So I'm telling you, don't be dismissive of your spouse. Because Jesus said you're supposed to love her like Christ loved the church. And he laid down his life for her. You've got to have somebody in your life that's going to make you, that's going to force you, that's going to provoke you to live out the Bible, right? But listen, it's not just that provoking and irritating. There's another word used here. See it? It's there at the bottom, but encouraging each other. Sometimes you need encouragement too. And here's the hard thing. How many of you like easy answers? Come on, raise your hand. Y'all like easy answers, right? Like, if I gave you three things to do right now to just be better, y'all be like, yeah, thanks, Pastor, right? Here's the problem. This provoke in love and good deeds, and then this encourage. I can't tell you which situation calls for which because you got to read your audience. Every person is different, okay? Sometimes they're going to need the irritation. Hey, man, come on, let's go. Dig deep, let's go. Sometimes they need that arm around their shoulder. Hey, it's going to be okay. Come on, let's get through this together. Let's go. Sometimes they're just going to need the encourager. And I can't tell you which is which, and everybody's different. In my past, I used to think that I could just challenge all men by challenging their biblical manhood. And like, I mean, big, like, dude, some of the manliest men you've ever met. And I was good friends with some of those men. I was like, man, if I just challenge their biblical manhood, man, they're going to, I mean, that is a dude's dude. Like, you would look at them. I mean, you're looking at them like the prophet Samuel going, that's the next king. You're looking at this mountain of a man go, man, I'll challenge his biblical manhood. And then he'll step up. And I do it. And the moment I do it, they melt. Because they don't respond to that. They respond to encouragement. And it took me months to get over that. So you got to know your audience. You got to kind of have a read for the room, but it's important. Now here, what are we provoking and encouraging them to do? Okay, look at this together. Go back. Not to neglect gathering together. So we're provoking them to love and to good deeds. And that third thing, to not neglect gathering together. Not neglect fellowship. Why would that be in there? I'm going to give you the answer. Ready? Because you know what we all need the most? God. Everything going on in your life, everything going on in your friend's life, in your neighbor's life, you know what people need the most? They need God himself. That's what they need. And when does God promise to show up? When two or more are gathered, Jesus says he will be there. If what people need the most is God, and God promises to show up when we gather, then we have got to spur one another on to love and good deeds and to be here because it matters. All right? Because it matters. It makes us better. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron and one person sharpens another. So I want to say this to you. Here's my provoke. Here's my push this morning, okay? Now we're down a little bit. We're a little light. We still got sickness out. We have 9 people out just in pre-K this morning in the second service alone. I was like, do you have anybody else? How are you watching children, babe? I don't know how that's going to work. It's fine. God bless you. I'm just going to preach, okay? So there's a few people out, but I want you to look around you real quick. just where you are. There's going to be somebody sitting in your section that is always in your section. So here's my provoking, here's my encouragement when it comes to this place. This is why you need fellowship. You need fellowship for two reasons. One, you need other people to know you, so you'll have somebody to do this for you that we've been talking about. You need that. But number two, the flip side of it, is you need to have fellowship so you'll know others so you can be that person in their life. All right? So I'm going to do a little math with you guys. I went through our church database Thursday afternoon. Yeah, right about lunchtime. And I just wanted to see, like, hey, I wonder how many active people are involved in our ministry right now. And so here's the number it came up with, 966. Okay, not active members, but active people between visitors, guests, people that show up, that have checked in, that have filled out a form, that have given something, like you name it. We're at 966. We see about 400 every weekend through the doors. 966, okay? So here's what I want to just do a little math with you. There's one senior pastor here, okay? And this one guy on this stage that gets to see all these faces can't remember all of them. And it's not fair to ask him to be the one that looks through the pews to figure out what faces aren't here, what faces are hurting, what faces are hiding, and him to be the one that has to reach out to them, because we're all ministers of the gospel, right? And if we're living in fellowship, here's my push, then you're going to shepherd your area. Youth, you're going to shepherd your area, the tables that you sit at afterwards and all the faces around those tables. You're going to know who hasn't been there for 2 weeks. The teacher won't have to text them. You will. Say, hey, is everything okay? I miss you. You sit in the back, like, you're going to shepherd your area. You're going to know everybody that sits there. You should get to know their names. You should shake their hands. At some point, build enough of a relationship that you get a phone number, right? Like, that's the point. And so it matters. It makes us better. Third reason that we fellowship. And guys, we fellowship with one another because we are family. It's my favorite. Man, we fellowship with one another because we are family. 1 John 1:3 says, "What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Here's what John is saying. John is saying, hey, man, we hung out with Jesus Himself. We saw it with our own eyes. We touched Him with our own hands. He was amazing. And we fellowshiped with Him. And we have a relationship with His Father, God, right? And we're going to write all of this to you about Jesus. That would be us who's reading that stuff now. We're going to write all this to you about Jesus so that you might come to know Jesus. And then your fellowship will be with us, and all of our fellowship will be with God, right? We're going to be family. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 8. He says, "For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, and heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." Now listen, in our culture, in a room this size, it's pretty much a guarantee about half of us have experienced a breakdown in family structure. So what do you mean, Pastor? You know what I mean. Just when I said it, you're like, yep, that's me. Half of us have experienced, probably a little more than half, a breakdown in our family structure. We've experienced divorce or abandonment or neglect or even abuse. And so this concept's going to be really, really important. I need you to just lock in here for a second. I want to tell you something about God that's really important, okay? That's not who God is. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. That's not who God is. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord is the one who will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged." And listen, church, we are a collection of people who have been chosen by God to be adopted out of our brokenness and to be placed into his safe and loving care. That's who we are, right? That's who we are. And when we accept Christ, we become part of the family of God. And not only do we become part of the family of God, but we also become part of God's care structure. You go, what do you mean by that, Pastor? All right, well, think about it. Jesus on earth, he said, I am the light of the world, right? That's Jesus. So here's one of Jesus' most famous invitations, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because I'm loving, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you come to Jesus, if you exchange your sinful life with his perfect one, if you say, hey, I want you to save me from my sins, he takes all of that from you. He takes all the stuff you worry about. You're worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to drink. He's like, I got all that. Here's my burden. You just worry about sharing the gospel with others. I will cover you. I got all of you. It's a great exchange. It's this burden exchange, right? That's Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. You come to me. Now listen, we our job is to point others to him. He's the burden bearer. But that same Jesus also says, now those that have done that, you are the light of the world. Right? So we now have a participation in the ministry of Jesus. And part of that ministry is indeed bearing burdens. And so listen to what Paul writes in Galatians 6, 2 through 5. He says, carry one another's burdens. Right? In this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. So part of our job now is to be a part of the care structure of God. And that's what fellowship is. Fellowship, Christian fellowship, is a group of people that have come to know Jesus. We know that we can lay our burdens on him, but we also know that we're part of this family structure. And so when we're overwhelmed, man, we turn to one another. We had that great testimony that we shared last week with a family that they'd been in an accident, like couldn't work for 10 weeks, just, I think it was actually longer. They got behind. They were going to lose their house. They'd been praying and praying. They had been going to the burden bearer. Jesus, we're asking you do something. Jesus, we're asking that you fix. And then this light went on in them, and they said, man, we've got to go to the church. The whole family had just accepted Christ not long before, been baptized. So they come to the church with a burden, and look at what the people of God did. They said, that's our family. And in 24 hours, you stepped up and you provided what they needed. Way more than what they'd asked for, but it was indeed what they needed. Man, praise God, that's what it looks like to participate in the care structure of the kingdom of God. So what do we do with all that? I'll give you three things and let you go. Number one, I want to challenge you to make gathering weekly for worship a priority. Okay? Now, I don't mean when you have the flu. Y'all, we'll be over the flu soon. Okay, so if you have the flu, God bless you. That's why we live stream this sucker, okay? You can stay at home with all your fevers, and you tell me like, hey, Pastor, miss you, got the flu, see you next week. Cool, that's fine, okay? So, I'm talking about all the other stuff. All the other stuff. You got to be here. God does something special here. This is like level one fellowship, y'all. Like getting to know all the people around you. Level one, it's important that you get plugged in, okay? So that's first. So come to the service, hang out afterwards, talk to people, get coffee in the hallway, sit somewhere. Somebody, hey man, you got time afterwards? You got time to sit and chat? You guys can sit in this hall as long as you like, right? The doors lock after you leave. It's fine. It's fine. Second thing I want to challenge you to do is to get involved in a small group. That's our second level of fellowship. We're getting deeper now. And we've got all kinds of small groups. If you think small group is more like traditional Sunday school, we have that at 8:30. We've got three classes. We have a men's class, we have a women's class, and we have what we're going to call a mixed class. We use the word couples a lot, but then people are like, "Well, I'm not married." Yeah, you can still go. It's just a mix. It's a mixed gender class, okay? So I got to be careful using that word these days. But you can go. You can go. Go. Different anatomy class right back there. That's what it is. I don't know what else to say. So, but you can go to that class. But here's the deal. At 8:30, y'all, there's no childcare. So we've always kind of said, hey, it's an empty nester class, but maybe you're not quite empty nester, but you got an older kid that can drive. So you leave the younger kids with the older kids bring them when it's time for church. That's fine. 8:30, that's for you. Okay?
So that's more of a teaching environment. So we've got that. We also have small groups, life groups, y'all. I'm going to show you this next slide. We want you to be in a life group. Find somebody around you. It's so cool. We've got new families in the church that are already in life groups that are doing this together. Nobody was leading, so they stepped up and go, man, we'll lead, we'll host. Can you train us? Yes, we can train you. So if you're interested in having a deeper fellowship with some other people, y'all, we have a brand new, it's not just a college group, it's just a young adult group that is meeting on a weekly basis. And so, like, just find a group. And so if you're interested, yes, that's another QR code. Y'all crack me up, by the way. Somebody, we hear these stories. Somebody in the hallway last week, we talked about the financial class, and like it was a QR code if you want to sign up. Somebody walked outside and they're like, another dang QR code. Love you guys. There's no like easier digital way to get you to sign up. I'm sorry. They work. And so if you're interested in a life group, we want you to do that, okay? That's really, really important. That's really, really important. And lastly, guys, I'm just going to challenge you to be family, to act like God's family, not the family that you experienced, right? God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And we're a reflection of that to others, that we say, hey, man, I'm here for you. I'm gonna walk with you. Like, people are shocked when they come and they unburden themselves with us. Man, they say some stuff like, I'm the worst person ever. And we're like, cool, I'm glad you're here. And they look at us like, what? Aren't you kicking me out? No, man, I'm so glad you're here. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus will fix that stuff. All right? Let's talk about him. Okay? And so we got to act this way. We got to be family with one another. It's really, really important. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. And while I pray, I just want you to ask yourself this question. Do I have those kind of relationships with people here? Okay? Because if you don't, you got to get plugged in. You got to get involved. All right? So I'm going to pray. Father, man, so many reasons that we should participate in Christian fellowship. That we need you the most. And you promise when two or more are gathered, you're there. So that matters. Not just on Sunday morning for worship, but if we gather for a small group Bible study, you're there. We gather at a coffee shop for a D group, you're there. And so, God, I pray that you would call us into that sweet kind of community, Lord. That's my hope and that's my prayer. For anybody that's not in that, I pray that you'd put that in them to say, yeah, I want to be that unto others this morning, and that they would do that, Lord. And then finally, God, just for those of us that are there, that we'd act like it. God, that we would just be a committed family to one another, and it would be felt and known, not just in this place, but in this city. We ask that in Jesus' holy, powerful, and precious name. Amen. Amen.